I think some of you just like to cheer for the next half hour, yeah? How many of you know your Redeemer lives? How many of you act like your Redeemer lives? Whoa, man. You're supposed to let your light what? So shine. When people look at you, do they look at you and say, there's something different about those people? How many of you have ever had somebody to say, do you go to First Baptist Church? How many of you have ever had somebody to say that to you? I had somebody say that to me, and I looked down to see if I was dressed in a suit, and I was getting gas in a gas station, and I just spoke to the person. I didn't have a suit on, but I was being friendly with them, and they said, do you go to that First Baptist Church? And I said, yeah. What made you think that? He says, there's something different about you people. And that's the way it should be. Hiles Anderson student, my Redeemer lives. I don't know about you, but I love this college. And I don't think you would be here if you didn't love it. And I know when I decided to go, it was a big challenge for me because Brother Hiles asked me to go, and I actually didn't think I could make it, but finally I decided, and I learned a lot. I sacrificed, had great blessings coming here. I learned to lose myself here at Hiles Anderson College. Most of you don't know Marlene Evans, but my wife actually took Marlene Evans' job. She was the speech teacher at Hiles Anderson College, and 50 years ago, my wife had an opportunity to teach or come here to Hiles Anderson College. She had already been working for Jim Vineyard 2 years, and I thought, man, if I had a dream in this world, any place for JoJo to go, it'd be Hiles Anderson College to work under Marlene Evans. And sure enough, she had that opportunity, and she's been here now 50 years on this staff here at Hiles Anderson College. But Marlene Evans was a tad bit different. She wanted you to lose yourself. How many of you actually had Marlene Evans? Any of you in here? Probably Mario, the guys, the old men behind me only. Did you, Jack? You had her also? Okay, Brother Mitchell, I'm sorry. well, some guy privately, I had a Route 89. Any of you have Route 89 in North Chicago? I don't know what division that is. Humboldt Park area, California, Western. Well, that was the route I had, and in those days, you could do anything on your bus route. You could run any number. Fact is, I had 135. Our bus route had 135 in our bus that particular Sunday. Some guy privately in class, actually before it started, he just asked me privately, how many did you have in your bus route yesterday? I said, oh, we had 135. Marlene Evans happened to hear that. And the class actually had not officially started. And she looks at me and she says, how many did you have in your bus route yesterday? And she liked to talk loud, and now everybody's getting this, I'm getting all this attention that I wasn't looking forward to. And she says, how many did you have in your bus route yesterday? I said, 135. She says, aren't you excited about having 135 in your bus route? I said, yes, ma'am. She says, why don't you act like you're excited? And I'm thinking, man, this guy just asked me a private question, and now I'm all of a sudden a classroom example, you know? And she says, well, why don't you act like you're excited? I says, well, I don't want to sound like I'm bragging. She says, oh, now I understand. Now I understand. You had 135 in your bus route. You didn't pray, and you didn't ask God to bless you and bless the visitation on your bus route. And I'm getting hot. I mean, I'm burning on the inside. And so I just hollered out, amen, praise the Lord, to God be the glory. We had 135 in our bus route yesterday. She looks at me, and she says, thank you. That's what I wanted you to do. And that was part of the speech class. One time she called me up to give it. We had to memorize a chapter in the Bible. And some people had more confidence in Roy Moffat than I myself. And she said, you know, by a certain date, everybody has to have your chapter ready, and I'll call on you. You may not know I'm going to call on you. She called on me one day. She said, okay, Brother Moffat, I want you to come up and recite your chapter. I said, Mrs. Evans, I don't feel like I'm ready today. She said, I think you are. Come on up and recite your chapter. And, you know, you get this feeling of almost hatred, you know. You think, I don't believe this woman's doing this to me. And sure enough, I got it word for word. And when I finished, she says, thank you. I thought you knew it. And it's just, you know, the people here at the college, they have more confidence in you sometimes than you realize. And you all have a whole lot of potential. Another time, you know, in college, you do sacrifice and a lot of times you give up your pennies and nickels and dimes and dollars for a bus promotion. How many of yourself actually, you kind of went broke getting set up for maybe an Easter program or Christmas program? You put in most all of your money. How many of you have ever done that? Only two. Man, the rest of you guys are cheapskates. But anyhow, we were having Pennies from Heaven Sunday. And of all days, this is the day that my wife says, why don't you ever buy me flowers? Of all days, you know. And my answer to that was, man, I'd rather buy you a dress or a pair of shoes. And she said, well, why don't you do that then? But no. I said, I'd rather buy you a dress or a pair of shoes. But that particular week, we had that route in Route 89. And if you had a visitor, you could stick your hand in this bucket of pennies. And anything you get, you could turn your hand any way you wanted, you could keep those pennies. So we really did. We cashed in all of our money, and we had a bucket about that around full of pennies. Well, I just went to Strack Van Til's out here in Maryville, here, Cherville, and I cashed in all of the money that we had, and I put those pennies in this bucket. And as I'm leaving Strack and Van Til's, there's a cemetery over there, Calumet Cemetery. And I look out across the parking lot, and there's a mound of flowers, probably about 3 foot high. This person's been buried already. They're going to throw these flowers away. And I looked at that, and right away I hear my wife saying, why don't you ever buy me flowers? So, realizing I didn't have the money to go buy flowers, I see this mound of flowers on this gravesite, and you know they're going to throw them away. I mean, y'all know that, right? I wasn't stealing flowers from a grave. Okay. So I've handpicked a beautiful bouquet of flowers, and I mean it's a beautiful bouquet of flowers. I should have picked the one that says, to my beloved wife, and put that. No, I didn't. So I picked this beautiful bouquet of flowers, and I even got some tissue paper, and I wrapped it up, and I took it home, and wow, you talk about how happy my wife was. She was so excited. She was thanking me, and she's, where did you get the money to buy those? I said, don't worry about it, JoJo. And she knew that we cashed in all of our money. You know, sometimes you get spend a lot of money in your bus route, and we really did at that particular time. And she says, no, really, where did you get the money to buy those flowers? I says, JoJo, don't worry about it. Well, our son Roy, and this is a long time ago this happened, he says, you know, Mommy, where the dead people live. And her personality changed. All of a sudden, she says, no, no, you didn't get those at the cemetery. And I told her, yes, I did. Get those off the table. Get those off the table. Get them out of here. I had to get those flowers off the table and out of the house. And it was a beautiful bouquet of flowers. You know, it's just a mind over matter type situation that she should have been excited about that. But anyhow, when I mentioned, you know, this place is a place of great blessings, I could go on all day talking about the great blessings that I've had, the challenges that I've had, the blessing that my wife has had the opportunity to work. Actually, she's been working for the church 52 years, 50 years here and 2 years for Brother Jim Vineyard. If you didn't know Jim Vineyard, you missed a great man. I really love that guy. He's a great hero of the faith, and he's the one that hired me 50 years ago. Today we're going to talk about a guy by the name of Daniel. How many of you know Daniel? You know Daniel, huh? Okay. We're going to be in Daniel chapter 6, so those of you that want to get there in Daniel chapter 6. The Bible says he was a preferred person. He was a preferred man. I would think anybody and everybody in this room, you'd like to be a preferred person. You'd like to be a preferred person of your boss or whatever. He had an excellent spirit. And again, I think these are traits that Daniel had that I think all of us need to work toward. He was very faithful. We know that he was a man that showed great, great faith. He definitely believed in his God. And his faith, he was willing to die for. I don't know if you realize that, but he was willing to think that with your faith, by you showing your faith, you may die in a lion's den. To me, that is almost beyond comprehension. We face those trials in our world today. I have something in my phone right now. We know that he was blessed by his God. And what are you saying uh-oh about? I may not be able to find it, but I think I will. Come on, jump on here. I want to read this to you. Liberal British Council proposing a sweeping injunction that could see Christians, street preachers, imprisoned for preaching for up to 2 years. I'll read that again. Liberal British Council proposing a sweeping injunction that could see Christian street preachers imprisoned for 2 years. Now, probably some of you are saying that'll never happen to us. Folks, we're talking about England. Here's what it says. Under the proposed terms, Christians will be banned from praying for individuals, hanging out religious leaflets or Bibles by hand, and laying hands on people in prayer, even with their permission. That's a proposal in England right now. And Sergio's cousin sent that to me. And he says, but they'll allow Muslims to go all over anywhere they want to and have their prayer meetings. But you can't go out and talk about your Lord Jesus Christ. At least that's a proposal. Now, if that were true with you, and you couldn't witness anymore, you couldn't pass out flyers like we did last week, what would you do? Daniel, man, he risked his life praying to his God. I want you to read with me just the first three verses of Daniel chapter 6. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. And over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, so you can already see Daniel was a big shot in this situation, even though he was a captive, a Babylonian captive at this time, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Verse 3. Then this Daniel was preferred. Now, you know that if somebody is preferred, you know, it means this king kind of likes, you know, of all people here, I like this guy the best. He was preferred. Now, how do you become preferred? It's not that, well, I want to be preferred. No, you have to show character. You have to show diligence. You have to be a hard worker. And Daniel was every bit of that. So Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes. So there's 120 princes and three presidents. He's number one. Because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Now, under King Nebuchadnezzar, he was taken into captivity. And as a result, later on in his life, he's now having to face a trial. What was it that was the trial? They knew that they didn't like Daniel. Why? Because they're jealous of him, pretty much. He had a good position. He was actually over the presidents. He was actually over the princes. And he was the overseer of all these people. And they thought, man, we got to get something on this guy. I don't like him. We need to fix him. He's got too much power. And they thought, you know what? I think we got a good idea. And they made a decree, and they went to the king and told him that, Darius, you know, you're a great man. And I think that we ought to have a decree that they don't pray to anybody but you for 30 days. Well, I have a feeling Darius was kind of proud and thought, wow, that sounds like a great idea. Man, I like that. And what did he do? He agreed with it. The Bible says he made it into a what? a law of the what? Medes and Persians. Now, can you change the law of the Medes and Persians? Once that becomes law, the king cannot say, oh man, we made that law, but we're going to drop that today. No, this was a law. So right away, they had an idea and they thought, you know what? I think we can fix this, Daniel. And what do? They watched to see if he's going to pray. He went to his place of living, looked out toward Jerusalem through the window, and he was praying on his knees. And the Bible says he would give thanks to the Lord. They knew they would catch Daniel. And sure enough, they did. They found him. This is what they wanted. Ah, we got him. We caught him praying to his God. Now we're going to turn him over to the king. And Darius, we just want you to know that somebody broke that decree that you said nobody was to pray to anybody for 30 days except you. And you know what? We found Daniel praying to his God. Well, did Darius want to put him in the lion's den? Because that was going to be the end result. He really didn't want to do that. Why? Because he liked Daniel. He was a preferred man. He could see, I believe, God's power in his life. And so, he didn't have any choice in the matter. He felt like, man, I'm going to have to do what I have to do, and I'm going to have this guy put in the lion's den. But you know, what was really special is that particular night when Daniel was put into the lion's den, or that day when he was put into the lion's den, King Darius in his mind thought, you know what? I believe your God's going to take care of it. As a kid, I would see a picture, and I didn't picture many lions. I only pictured one lion in a den, and I'd see a picture, an artist's conception of Daniel sleeping on a lion. Have you ever seen anything like that? And I didn't see a bunch of lions around that. Daniel, as he's sleeping on this lion. But there were lions in there. It wasn't just one. And Daniel was thrown into this lion's den. Wow. To have that kind of faith in God that he's going to take care of you takes a whole lot of faith. And as a result, he was thrown in that den. And what happened with the king that night? The Bible says he couldn't even sleep. It says that they had musicians that would play for him. He didn't have those. He didn't want those musicians playing for him. Said that he even fasted that night. And he was so concerned, the Bible says that he didn't sleep that night, and he gets up early in the morning, and he wants to go check on Daniel. And the Bible says that he lamented. What do you think that means when it says he lamented? Daniel, are you okay? Did your God deliver you? He had that kind of just hoping and praying in his own mind that Daniel's God was going to deliver him. And sure enough, Daniel replies back, yes, God sent me an angel. And as a result, he protected him. Well, the king had him removed out of that pit. Well, the Bible says that all of those men said that we have a decree. We'd like to have a decree that everybody pray to you for 30 days. Well, it wasn't all of them, because Daniel wasn't part of that. They lied to the king. Well, they ended up getting their end. All of those accusers, all those princes and leaders that were at that particular time were thrown into that lion's den. Not only were those the princes and the presidents, but their families, the Bible says, and their wives were cast into this den of lions. And the Bible says that those lions obviously devoured them. But there was a great transition in the king at this particular time. And I want you to turn with me now. We're going to read, and to me, the truth about Daniel being willing to die for a cause is a tremendous thing that he was willing to do. As I read to you how in England there could be a decree someday, soon, that you can't hand out pamphlets, you can't talk about Jesus Christ, you can't lay your hands on somebody and pray for him. How are you going to respond to that? You may have to go into hiding and stand for the Lord. You know, we have missionaries right now, they're somewhat in hiding. If they were caught doing what I'm trying to encourage you to do, they could eventually lose their life. So I'm not saying to go out there and say, well, I just want you to know, I'm going to pray for this guy right here, and you can put me in jail for 2 years if you want to. Now, I think we'd have to be smart about that. But I think we would have to be careful, but still do it. That would be a challenge when you think about it. But turn with me now, and we're going to start reading in Daniel chapter 6, verse 18. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Now, this is where he's really concerned. Daniel's now in the lion's den. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. So he went the whole night not being able to sleep. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste to the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a what? Lamentable voice. That's, oh, Daniel! And he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said unto said to Daniel, oh, Daniel, servant of the living God. So I have a feeling he's now believing in Daniel's God. And he's believing in Daniel. And this has to do with his example, his spirit. Is your example kind of an example that's going to cause people to love your Lord, to love your Jesus Christ? Do they look at you as so different? You know, this guy has something really different. I'd like to have what he has. And I think that's how the king looked at Daniel. So he says, oh, Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee from the lions? Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God hath sent his angel and hath shut the lions' mouths, and they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. So he's basically saying, hey, this is how God protected me. Then was the king exceedingly what? Glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him because he what? Believed in his God. Wow, what faith. That's something that we all need to work on, is our faith. We need to believe in faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to believe the great miraculous power. When you witness to somebody, you could be witnessing to one of the worst people in the world, and they can get saved through the power of God. I used to work with the jail ministry, and I was at Cook County one time, and I was talking to this inmate, wanting him to get saved, and I was telling him the Bible says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The Bible teaches anybody can get saved. He looks at me, and he says, you don't know me at all. I says, you're right, I don't. He says, you don't know anything about me. He says, you're right again. And he says this. He says, I don't think there's anything I haven't done. But what is he telling me? He's telling me he's so bad that there's no way in the world I can get saved. You know what? The power of God can save me again. And that's something that we need to look forward to, is to take that opportunity that we have to go out and witness to people. Verse 24, and the king commanded and brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, their wives, and the lions had the mastery of them and broke all their bones in pieces, or ever they came at the bottom of the den. So all of his accusers now ended up getting a pretty bad result of accusing God's man. People need to be careful about being critical of God's man. You all need to be careful about criticizing God's man. I don't care who it is. If he's God's man, don't be going around saying, well, I think he's a good preacher, but I don't like this or I don't like that. Be careful about that. Be careful about criticizing God's men. So, verse 25, then King Darius wrote to all, now look at this, all people, nations, and language that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. So this is what the king's going to make a decree. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble and fear before the what? God of Daniel, for he is the living God and steadfast forever, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed in his dominion shall be even unto the end. Wow, what a decree. Why did that happen? It had to do with Daniel. It had to do with his love and his God. It had to do with him willing to die for his God. And not only was he willing to die for his God,
God intervened and performed a tremendous, tremendous miracle.
And I'd just like to encourage all of us, there may be time you're going to be tried, maybe scared. I'm going to mention some times that I've been in a situation where I was a tad bit scared for my life, but I continued on doing it. And here I am. I made it anyhow. So, in verse 27, he delivered and rescueth and worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth, who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. So basically, this is his decree, and he's telling people, you're going to worship Daniel's God. And in verse 20, it says, so this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius, in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. So as we look at this story, I think we can learn from some of the examples that we have. He was a preferred person. Now, I think every one of us ought to be a preferred person when we work for somebody. You ought to look at you as, man, there's something different about this girl. There's something different about this guy. I've always taught, try to be one step ahead of your boss. Don't wait until they tell you that you need to sweep up this mess. It ought to be automatic. You just sweep up the mess. You see a mess, why would you have to wait till your boss says, hey, I see that stuff on the floor, why don't you pick that up? Why would you have to do that? If you're the kind of person you hire in a place and you see a little bit of a mess on the floor, you work in a McDonald's and you see French fries on the floor and there's people are stepping on them, you know what? You ought to pick them up. Maybe that's not your job. So what? You do it anyhow. Why? Because it's right. And I would say that if you would do something like that, if there was a need for a promotion, there'd be a good chance that you might be the one promoted. Why? Because you would be a preferred person. He had an excellent spirit. Now, I'd like to encourage all of us to work at having an excellent spirit. There's some people I know, hey, how you doing today? Oh, if you only knew. I tell you what, I can hear Tom Williams right now. Hey, how you doing? Tom Williams would do that, kind of just like he's into Mully Grubs. You know what? You should always be up there. Upbeat all the time. How often should you rejoice in the Lord? Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Are you the kind of people that you rejoice in the Lord always? If not, work at it. Seriously, if you're the kind of person, yeah, you're not an upbeat person, and I'm going to ask a dumb question. How many of you know Roy Moffitt somewhat personally? Raise your hand. How many of you have ever seen Roy Moffitt in a downbeat, depressed, discouraged spirit? I mean, I can have some pretty tough trials in my life, if you don't know it. I can be going through some pretty tough times. But you don't know it. I went through cancer, and that wasn't so much fun. But you didn't know it. You didn't, hey, Roy, how you doing? Oh, man, I got cancer, and I don't know if I'm going to live or not. You didn't see that. I'm in the hospital, and this nurse walks in there, and she sees all these cards. I had my birthday while I was in the hospital, and get well cards and happy birthday cards. And this nurse walked in there, and she looked around, and she looked at me, and she says, are you the president? And I said, no, I have a job better than the president. And she said, what is that? And I told her I'm an associate pastor in a Baptist church in Hammond, Indiana. And she looked at me and she says, you're right. And the next day she walked in on that same shift about 11 o'clock in the evening. And she walks in and looks around. She says, well, there's the president. Oh, no, you're not the president. And then she went back to me being an assistant pastor at the church. So, work at your spirit. Seriously, if you're the kind of person, I'm thinking of somebody right now. If you'd say, hey, how you doing today? Oh, man, I tell you, things are really bad. Automatically, you know, it's not encouraging me to be like that. And I don't think you're going to encourage anybody like that. Be upbeat. How you doing, man? Praise the Lord. The Bible says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Y'all don't know a guy by the name of Earl Yates, but that guy was always upbeat. That guy was crazy upbeat. I mean, everything was, amen, praise the Lord, glory, hallelujah. Man, we just had a tornado yesterday. Amen, praise the Lord. Yeah, but my car was destroyed. Amen, praise the Lord, glory, hallelujah. And the fact is, that was the route 89. I took over his route when he left.
But one day Earl wanted to borrow my pickup truck, and I let him borrow my pickup truck. Well, he was supposed to return it on Monday. He didn't. Supposed to return it on Tuesday. He didn't. Finally, he returned it and didn't even tell me. He was over at the bus garage. My truck's out in the parking lot. Oh, good. I go there. I go to my truck. The ignition's missing. The ignition switch is missing. I'm thinking, man, what in the world? Why didn't this guy come by? Why didn't he tell me or something? He returns my truck, didn't say anything. I got in a bad spirit. When I saw him, I said, Earl, you borrowed my truck. You bring it back. You had it for 2 days longer. You bring it back, and the ignition switch was missing. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory. Hallelujah. I didn't take that very well. I'm sorry, but I told him, I don't want to hear your amen, praise the Lord, glory, hallelujah. But that was his spirit. You didn't find that guy down. He could be the dumbest guy in the world and doing something stupid, but he could kind of look at it as, amen, praise the Lord, glory, hallelujah. And I'd rather you be that than, oh, man, if you only knew. Hey, Earl Hiles used to end his radio broadcast, be good to everybody. Why? Because everybody's having a hard time. I say that to people that's been in our church for over 20 years. I'll say that before I leave. I'll say, now remember, be good to everybody. And they'll say, because everybody's having a hard time. So you need to realize people do have hard times. So we need to go around having a good spirit and be an upbeat person. And I think that's something that we can do. You could fake that if it is. Fake it till you make it. You've probably heard that. He believed in God, and that's something that, boy, praise the Lord. I never didn't believe in God. Some people say that's why they're saved. No, that's not why I'm saved. But I was always in a Baptist church all my life. My dad saw to it that I went to church. There's never been a season in my life that I didn't go to church. And so for that reason, I can say, praise God. I've always believed in God. And you all need to realize you have a God that's very, very, very powerful. Now, the thing that I think was another great thing, obviously, about Daniel is he was willing to die. Now, I have actually been in Chicago in areas that I was afraid for my life. First Baptist Church years ago had some crazy things. We had I don't remember how long, Mario, was it a week of 24/7 visitation? We had a full week that somebody was to be out visiting and soul winning 24 hours from First Baptist Church for 7 days. Well, in those days, I had the jail ministry and the truck stop ministry and the rest home ministry, and these are all men and mainly older men. You know what my times were? 9 to 6 at night. You have to go where people are. Go to Rush Street up in Chicago. You go to 95th and Expressway. That's a good place. You can go soul winning there 24/7. There's always people there, and we'd go there. Well, we're at this one place at 111th Street in Michigan. And one night I see this guy walking out of a liquor store. And I say, hey, we're out here telling people about the Lord Jesus Christ. We're from the First Baptist Church. And this guy just looks at me with a real low voice. And he just looked at me and he says, hey, man, I know who you are. And I know what you want. I'm out to have a good time right now. But if anybody messes with you, I'll kill him. And he walks off. I didn't want to ask him any more questions. When he walked off, he was walking into a dark street, and I felt like I've already taken care of this guy. I don't need to talk to him anymore. He told me his business. So the next day, here comes two guys, and this is the same place, and it's on 111th in Michigan. You may know that. It's in Roseland. And here I am witnessing to people, and here comes a guy with two guys with one sporting a pit bulldog. I'm not afraid of dogs. I've had pit bulldogs, and I wasn't afraid of this dog. And I see these two guys coming over, and I said, hey, we're from the First Baptist Church, and we're trying to share. This kid just right off the bat says, you're the devil. He had this real high, whiny type voice, and he says, you're the devil. And I said, no, I'm a Baptist preacher. You're the devil. And I said, no, really, and he's getting closer to me. And in my mind, I thought, I can whip this kid. You know, I mean, seriously, really, in my mind, I felt that. But he's with somebody else, and he does have this dog. But I'm in an area that's busy, and this kid gets really close to me. It was there was a liquor store and a and a Walgreens that was open 24 hours. And so anyhow, this kid is now starting to get into my face. And I'm thinking, man, what am I going to do here? You won't believe this, unless you want to. Right in front of me, to the point that he was so close that I didn't see him coming, the guy that I saw yesterday was so close to me, walked right between the two of us, and I grabbed his bicep with both hands. Boom! I said, hey, tell him who I am. Remember the day before, he says, I know who you are and I know what you want. Anybody to mess with you, I'll kill him. He said that. So I grabbed his arm and I'm thinking, whoa, man, of all people, wow. This was a divine miracle in my thinking. Anyhow, this guy shows up and I grabbed his arm and he had these dreadlocks. He was an older guy of that neighborhood, probably about 45 or so. And I grabbed his arm and I says, hey, tell him who I am. And he looked at that kid with that real low voice. And he says, hey, you leave him alone. And he walked off. I didn't say another word to that kid. He didn't say another word to me. And I walked off also. But really, I thought, man, I may end up losing my life here. And I was very serious about that. It was a rough neighborhood. I was one time in an area called Icky's Buildings. Any of you know that? They may have torn it down right now. And here I am visiting, and I thought, well, at least I'll let them know that I'm a Christian. I was carrying my Bible, going door to door in this housing project. And I knew it was a rough area. And some guy answered the door, and he looked at me, and I told him we're visiting. I'm visiting for the church, and we're trying to get people saved. And he looks at me, and he says, do you know where you are? And I says, yeah, I know where I'm at. He says, man, you could get killed out here. Well, again, I realized that. But I was willing to take the chance. And there's sometimes that we need to just stick our neck out and be a witness when it's the right time. And God has blessed. You know, the last thing that happened with Daniel, obviously, is he was a blessed man. And I think the more you live for the Lord, the more he's going to bless your life. And that should be something that all of us, just show your faith. Let people know your faith. Don't be afraid to witness for Jesus. When I witnessed over in the steel mill, they used to call me Moffat the Prophet, Rabbi, Preacher. They all kind of crazy names. But I'm glad. If they're calling me names like that, it must have meant that I was taking a stand for Jesus. And that would be a stand that I think all of us would take. How many of you would say, Brother Moffat, I believe I will take a stand even better than what I have been? When I think of Daniel and the life that he lived and how he was willing, I believe I can say that I'll even take a stronger stand for the Lord. Raise your hand. The rest of you are backslid. But anyhow, let's pray. Father, be with us, watch over us, and we thank you for the joy of salvation. Thank you for your many, many wonderful blessings. For these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.